7.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders. None better to tee it up with than Victoria Jones. Victoria, how was your weekend?
Very nice, thank you, except I saw Man of Steel and that was a mistake.
It wasn't good?
It was awful.
Oh, I was going to go see that. I guess I won't. That's your fans, that's your cheap movie review. We do cheap movie reviews on the show, so there it is. He just wasn't good. It was just boring action. What was the deal?
It's 2.5 hours. It should have been 2. It should have been tighter, and they should have made it just a little bit more grown up to make it just more, something. And he should have used more of his powers.
All right, so they dragged it out. Okay, that's what happened. Yeah, they dragged it out. They didn't edit it well then. There you go.
No.
All right, so I'm going to wait till it comes out on DVD. You just convinced me and probably a few other people, too, as well. All right, there you are in Washington. Talk about Man of Steel. I guess the president is, what was the word I read today in one of the sites I looked at? The president is doubling down on NSA, on the defense of NSA, because now his poll numbers are slipping, and you and I were talking off the air, and he chose to speak first to Charlie Rose. That should be an interesting interview. I guess in part of this, he's saying it's a false choice to suggest that we have to sacrifice between freedom in order to achieve security. That's kind of been the theme of what Jay Carney's been saying, though, hasn't it?
It has been the theme, and I think if anybody can make the argument, I think President Obama can make it much better than Jay Carney, and hopefully what he says will get picked up, as I'm sure it will. And, you know, he needs to do a lot more than just Charlie Rose. He's going to need to be out there, out there, out there if he wants to see those poll numbers come back up. Obviously, Jay Carney can't carry his water for him because people aren't seeing it as a false choice. They're seeing it as a choice.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely, a choice, either or, one or the other. All right, moving from NSA, because we're going to be talking about this a lot, I'm certain of it, with other hearings and things that are coming up. But I think this is a huge story, obviously, what's happened now with the Russian leader Putin, who is just not moving off of his serious stance. In other words, hey, we're going to continue to do what we're doing with Assad, with his regime, and you can do what you want to do. Is that pretty much the way it's been?
Pretty much, although he's basically saying, I'm working with a legitimate government and you're working with people who are not legit. So he's taking a little bit further. And they didn't look happy coming out of this two-hour meeting that they had on the sidelines of the G8 Monday evening. BuzzFeed has this, it's in my news notes for Tuesday, has this 10 pictures of Obama and Putin looking sad. And it's actually a scream because I've never seen two boys looking more like they had all their toys taken away and were sent to their room.
All right, I love that description. So speaking of having your toys taken away or your votes or even the chance to let your voice be heard, I guess, now the Republicans are blaming Nancy Pelosi for what's happened in the House. They're saying we're just at a stalemate here. I thought immigration reform was just going to sail through and this was going to be another feather in the cap of Barack Obama, but apparently not, even what we're seeing in the Senate. Because they're just at the debating stage, and yes, it was one hurdle, but that doesn't look like that's going to be a layup either.
No, and when all else fails, blame Nancy Pelosi, you know, who's really done nothing in this case. You know, if all else fails, I mean, blame Marco Rubio. Blame somebody who's actually had something, although I wouldn't blame him, but blame somebody who's actually had something to do with the process. She's had about as little to do with it as my cat. I mean, she really has not been that involved in this process. It's remarkably unfair.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, vetoes. A couple of things might be vetoed, including the farm bill. Talk about that.
Veto of the farm bill, veto of the abortion bill. Two veto threats came bang, bang, straight out of the White House Monday evening. White House threatening to veto the farm bill up for debate in the House this week because the president's opposed to $25 billion in food stamp cuts in the House bill. The statement said the bill also doesn't get enough savings from cuts to farm subsidies, doesn't provide adequate funding for renewable energy, and he doesn't like the way they reform international food aid programs. But it's really the $20.5 billion in food stamp cuts that is the real rub for the president. Now, the Senate bill cuts the program by $4 billion, which, you know, is still, I think, that, you know, Democrats are saying is a lot. But when you compare it with $20.5 billion, it doesn't sound like so much.
Yeah, there you go.
The abortion veto is that is up for debate in the House Tuesday, and President Obama said that this bill from Trent Franks of Arizona is a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. It's an assault on a woman's right to choose, and it shows contempt for women's health and rights.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on all of that. Victoria Jones, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
Look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Coming up the rest of the way on this Hour of America Tonight, you know they're digging for Jimmy Hoffa again. Where do you think they're digging for Jimmy Hoffa? If you were thinking underneath Giant Stadium, no, that would be a big no. If you were thinking in South Jersey, it would be a big no. We'll see if anyone can guess. Where do you think they're digging for Jimmy Hoffa? And it doesn't mean that you can run to the internet right now and try to Google it, if you still use Google. After all the Snoop stuff. Also, the Gitmo names have been released. Kind of interesting stuff. And this is a big story. Remember the ref who was the amateur soccer ref who was beaten? Unfortunately, he was, I shouldn't say he was beaten to death. He was punched by a kid on the field. Well, that story's gotten much more interesting. So we have some of the details on that. I thought it was one of the saddest stories I've ever read. His family was so distraught, as you can imagine. This guy loved soccer, was so passionate about it, and was just volunteering his time all over the place, and a kid freaked out at one of his calls and hit him, and he ended up dying just a few days later. And speaking of dying, the president is really dipping in the polls, as we mentioned at the top with Victoria. Now it's a question of how does he play this NSA snooping thing. And we're going to talk to somebody who says in a bipartisan group, nonprofit group that he's with, Ivan Elam, that it's incredible that the government is just completely having no regard whatsoever for the Constitution, and that some people aren't even complaining about it, not realizing that all the people in Congress are complicit with this, and actually all branches of government are too as well. So how the president plays this has been very, very interesting to watch. And I think the Rose interview, especially where he says that he protects people's rights to privacy and pretty much is pointing to misinformation. So here we go again with the misinformation. And because of this revelation from Edward Snowden, you've got Google running for cover. You have Apple now running for cover. When I say running for cover, wanting to tell everybody who wants to know or who will listen that they didn't do very much, that they complied with the requests over the last 7 months and that they got between 4,000 and 5,000 requests covering 9,000 to 10,000 accounts. Because what they fear is there's millions of people who use Apple products, and they don't want them to be scared off. They want to tell you it's just a little teeny, teeny, teeny bit of amount of information. The problem is they can't tell you if it's yours that's been tapped into. All right, we're digging a trench. Dig with us. Hoffa next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Story. They have been looking for Jimmy Hoffa for a very long time, for decades, in fact. Jimmy Hoffa was last seen at the age of 62 on July 30th, 1975. Where was he? Outside of a Detroit restaurant. The FBI said at the time of the disappearance, it looks like the mob could have been linked to Hoffa's death because he was trying to regain power in the Teamsters and to the mob's influence over the union's pension funds. Of course, now the government just messes with the pension funds. Back then, I mean, it was all about the money and the pension funds. The Teamsters still have massive sway. And unions, as many of you know, much to your chagrin, still are right in there. I mean, it's a tug of war now over unions. So at the time, I mean, it was a power struggle, the labor movement, and he was trying to get back into that power spot. And after he was released from prison, remember, he was convicted in, we're talking about Zarelli, the gangster was convicted for jury tampering and fraud. And then ultimately what happened, what ended up happening here is the Genovese family in New Jersey were also hot on his trail. So it's really a kind of a crazy, twisted story if you pay attention to what, you know, over the years, some of the lore, some of it's exaggerated and whatnot. The bottom line is the FBI working on information from this alleged mobster, Tony Zarelli. They're looking for him in a field in Michigan, and apparently many of you are paying attention to this because Kissmaster shot me a note. Detroit, the attorney for the tipster who led the FBI to a field in Oakland Township, Michigan, that's right, said that the former mobster is relieved and hopeful there's going to be an end to the mystery of Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance. I mean, that's if the body's still there, because here's the thing. Zerilli was freed in 2008 after his last prison sentence, and because then he was convicted of crime. See, the guy, yeah, that's what you do when you're in the mob. You'll just serve, 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 get out, serve, serve, serve again. He was convicted that time in connection with some crime in Detroit. So after all of that, he said he knew what happened, that they lured him to an area, a farm area, at the time it was, outside of Detroit, and this is where they're digging on this private property to try to find his body. It's a field about 20 miles, specifically 20 miles north of where he was last seen. That's where they pulled him in, that they knew that they were going to kill Hoffa, and they tricked him into this meeting. They lured him into the meeting. They drove him to a farm owned by a mob underboss. The enforcer allegedly told Zerilli, you're following my breadcrumbs right of the mob, that Hoffa was killed and buried on the property, which covers all these acres. So they're searching Monday, and they've got the size of the actual plot of land that they're digging in is about the size, they say, of a small party tent. So that's where they have it. They found the spot, and they're in there digging. Think about it. They've taken soil samples, remember, from that house in a suburb of Detroit after somebody called in saying they saw a body buried in the yard a day after Hoffa disappeared. There were other crazy stories floating around about places where, you know, he had been buried over the years. And so many people thought they just buried him in cement and tossed him over a boat because, you know, that's one of the things the mob would do. They were famous for just throwing you over in a boat with cement legs. And it's been 40 years, almost 40 years after he disappeared. And he's one of the most famous missing persons. And they have sort of been searching for him off and on since he vanished in 1975. And this source, the FBI says, is very, very credible. So they feel good that they might actually dig him up. Can you imagine if they actually dig up Jimmy Hoffa? All right, Kate Delaney hanging with you here on America Tonight once again, as whether we got the shovel out and we're looking for Jimmy Hoffa, or the government has the shovel out and they're trying to dig their way out of the snooping scandal and trying to win favor over more of the American people who are not on board with what's happened with the NSA. And, you know, this is one of those things. I think my next guest will put it to you pretty succinctly how he feels. He doesn't think that there's any tug of war over this, that it's not black and white, that it's a shattering of the Constitution, and they're turning our country into what could become a police state, from a republic to a police state, and that the government snooping shouldn't have gotten this corrosive, or this deep, maybe is a better word for it, where you went through the three branches of government backing it up, saying, oh yeah, we've all signed off on it, and here's the thing, it's we all signed off with it, and the legalities are in place. But the problem is the dumping ground, the overseer for what would be all the data that's collected is really just a group rubber stamping what the NSA did. Kind of like a different pump and dump, if you will. Because I keep, in my mind, I keep comparing it, if you've listened to me at all, to dumpster diving for information. And the problem is, and even with Facebook saying, listen, you know, they came to us for some information and requests, and we gave them the information, we gave them the numbers, we gave them the info that they, or not Facebook, Apple, we gave them the information that they wanted, but it wasn't as much as you think. But the problem is any is too much because who are the people? We're not saying who the people are whose information was exposed, and everybody just assumes, well, it has to be all of us. It would have to be all of us that have been exposed here. And Snowden says, by the way, as the conversation got back to him about Dick Cheney making the Sunday rounds on political TV, saying that he was a traitor, and he says he considers that a high honor. So he did a series of blog posts that supposedly were his that were talking about more of the leaked classified details. And he did a 90-minute live online chatting session. He identified himself anyway as Snowden, and the British Guardian paper, who he's very tight with now because that's who he leaked all the stuff to, it was on their website, and they say that, you know, it's authentic, it's him, that kind of stuff. And he went through various things. He talked about the access to phone calls and emails and other communications far beyond what he was calling constitutional bounds. And he says the disclosure provides the president with an opportunity to appeal for a return to sanity, constitutional policy, this is Snowden, and the rule of law rather than men. That's one of the things he posted between the posting and the live chat. And he said, and this is a quote, he still has plenty of time to go down in history as the president who looked into the abyss and stepped back rather than leaping forward into it. I don't think he's going to do that, Ed Snowden. I don't think that will happen whatsoever. In fact, I think he'll get slammed with all kinds of charges, and it's a question of what we've said for over a week. What's the extradition policy with Hong Kong? They can extradite him. Will they extradite him? That will be the interesting thing to see how this all plays out. And the meta data is the thing that is so disconcerting to a lot of people in the computer industry because of the time and the number of phone calls and accessing that content. And then listening to the call itself, and when it's a call that's harmless, saying that it goes into the junk pile and it'll be destroyed in 5 years. Woo! There's a lot of trust in there. You didn't even know that you were in the middle of that pile, and then you're going to trust that it's going to be completely destroyed within that time period. So what's the reality here, folks? The reality is communications in this country are collected and viewed every single day by an analyst, right? By somebody who has some kind of a certificate, who's an analyst, and an analyst who is probably a contractor, doesn't even work for the NSA directly. We're continuing that conversation coming up on the flip side here in America Tonight.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Come to Burnsville, Minnesota to attend the Healthy Body 13 Conference.
2 days only.
Friday, June 21st at 6 p.m. for the opportunity meeting. And Saturday, June 22nd at 9 a.m. for training by Tom Chenault. Learn about Dr. Joel Wallach, the man who took on the FDA 8 times and won on all counts. For details, call 651-695-7750. That's 651-695-7750. Or visit HealthyBody13.com. HealthyBody13.com. Income at home with nutrition done right. Don't miss it.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
No, I want this town to be near you. No, gray skies ever turn blue.
Us now from the Center on Peace and Liberty. We're talking about Edward Snowden. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, one of the things that you were quoted as saying is, if there was ever a fishing expedition, sifting through the phone records of all Americans should qualify. Flush that out for us.
Well, I think when I say fishing expedition, that's exactly what the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution was put in there to avoid. Back in the colonial days, the British would just come by with a general warrant, and even they got warrant. We don't even use warrants anymore, but or at least you're supposed to use warrants, but these terrorist NSA taps don't use any warrants at all. And but you have a search warrant, and you have, and the Fourth Amendment specifically prohibits general warrants, meaning, well, We just want to look into this or that, right, in a general terms. But the Constitution says you have to specifically say what you're going to search for and what you're going to seize and, you know, who you're going to target, right? But, of course, if you're capturing all these phone records from, you know, over 300 million Americans, say, how does that really, you know, that's not a specific target. And also, the Fourth Amendment says you have to have a probable cause that a crime has been committed. Well, how can, you know, over 300 million Americans be suspected of terrorism? So it violates the Constitution on two things. The other thing is that the Constitution makes no exception for national security. So we have a real problem here. And they try to say, well, they're not listening in to each of your phone calls, but they're collecting the data of the numbers you call and the duration of the call and who's the call, you know, the recipient and the sender of the call, et cetera. And by this, they can use supercomputers to basically reconstruct your life. And that's called traffic analysis. And now the technology, they're being really disingenuous when they say, well, we're not listening into the calls of Americans. Well, they don't really have to anymore. You can get a lot from knowing they can reconstruct your whole life. And add to that, if they have your bank records, your ATM withdrawals and deposits, you know, that sort of thing, the banking stuff, where you charge your credit card stuff, they can get the credit card bills, et cetera. So they can really build a pretty complete picture of what you're doing.
And you think for sure they're doing it, and that's why this whole fishing expedition thing and that comment, as you just really explained to us, is that why you think more Americans should forget the notion that, hey, well, there's some things we have to do for terrorism because, listen, there's 25 plots that would have happened if we were not doing this. And since 9/11 and the Patriot Act, these are the kinds of things that are working.
Well, I'm quite skeptical that they foiled that many plots with this because, when the FBI and showcases these terrorist plots that they've foiled, usually what it is a sting operation where they've set a guy up to, we'll say, fake bomb-making materials or something, and then they try to get him to bite. And that, to me, is entrapment. Many people probably wouldn't do this stuff if the FBI didn't suggest it to them. So I'm very skeptical that they have many of these plots that the FBI uncovers. They sort of encouraged, they picked an angry young man that they found and, you know, tried to get him to become a terrorist. And so, you know, this is really in many of these cases. So, and now they're saying, well, and these intercepts helped us. Well, the intercepts may have helped them find an angry young man, but they didn't necessarily foil a terrorist plot. And I think... we also have to distinguish the two programs. The first program is the PRISM program, which is also unconstitutional because you don't get a warrant. And as I say, there's no exception for national security. And if they want one, they're going to have to amend the Constitution for it. But the second one is they're taking all these phone records of domestic U.S. citizens, literally everyone in the country probably, and that is, you know, blatantly unconstitutional. It doesn't matter that, you know, they use the excuse, well, all three branches have approved this. Well, all three branches can do something unconstitutional. I think we're in bad shape that nobody's objecting to this.
Right. Why not challenge it? There's a reason for the Constitution. One of the biggest offenders to me, and it's interesting because of what she runs on and how many times she's been elected, Senator Dianne Feinstein, saying that, no, this has to happen because any American could become a future terrorist. Is that the most ridiculous of all the statements? And she said some others, too.
Well, I think that is, yes, because that's really Big Brother, or in her case, Big Sister. I mean, if you think, I suppose it's theoretically possible that any American could become a terrorist, but it's very unlikely. And if you're collecting all this data, the chances of an average American ever being killed by terrorists are lower than being struck by lightning and similar to being struck by an asteroid. And we have this whole multi-billion-dollar, probably multi-trillion-dollar bureaucracy of intelligence, homeland security, airport security, the Defense Department, et cetera, and for a very small threat. And you say, well, what about 9/11? Well, even if the federal government had done nothing after 9/11, we would still have a much safer flying environment simply because there was a paradigm shift. The previous to 9/11, when people hijacked a plane, terrorists hijacked a plane, the air crew and the passengers were supposed to cooperate with the terrorists, and they would be, and they realized that most of the people would be let go after the terrorists got their publicity and that sort of thing. And maybe one person would be shot to be an example or whatever, but most people would live and go on with the rest of their lives. After 9/11, of course, the passengers realized that they might, you know, they're probably all going to die if the plane is used as a missile and, you know, run into a building or whatever. So, of course, they're much more aggressive now. And we've had the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber, that the passengers and the crew wrestled to the ground. They were very aggressive against these people. And that's the real backbone of anti-terrorism right there. So I think, you know, we've overdone it a little bit on airport security. And because it's so visible to the public, and people seem to be willing to give up freedom for security, except I think the polls have shifted now. I think this issue where it really brings it home that the government is spying on everybody, and everybody can't be a terrorist, right?
Yeah, no kidding. And then finally, Edward Snowden himself, you heard me say in the beginning, everybody wants to label him as something. What do you think happens to him, and what do you think should happen?
Well, I think we have to, you know, all the facts on what he's done are not clear, and I think we need to avoid the hero or traitor, these types of labels. What we have to focus on is whatever you think of him. We wouldn't be having this debate if he hadn't released this information. And this is absolutely shocking that the three branches of government that we have condoned this unconstitutional behavior. And if you open the Constitution and you read the Fourth Amendment and you're saying, wow, this is a search. There's no probable cause of a crime being committed. And this is a general search. It's not a specific person. It's not a specific thing, records being searched, etc. This is, you know, this is a flagrant violation of the Constitution, and I think he's pointed that out, and we have a discussion of that. So he has had a socially useful effect. Now, how history will judge him is another matter, but I think we have to say that we're probably better off having this debate, because I think this is the most serious issue that we've probably faced in a long time. And Daniel Ellsberg, you know, who leaked the Pentagon Papers because he was opposed to what was going on in Vietnam and the lies the government was telling, he says that this is the most important issue in the Republic's history. And it's certainly very important because if we have a government that's snooping into everybody's phone calls and other data systems with no warrant, you know, we're becoming more of a police state, and that's, we're supposed to have a republic, and we can't, you know, we can't let these, the foreign policy tail wag the republic a dog here. I mean, our foreign policy gives us blowback terrorism, and then the blowback terrorism, such as 9/11, causes us to erode the republic with, restrictions on civil liberties. So we need to say, maybe we should stop some of these interventions, which are leading military interventions overseas, which are leading to this blowback terrorism. I mean, if you read bin Laden's writings, that's what he's complaining about. And certainly we should do what we need to do overseas to secure the republic. But it seems like we're making a whole lot more enemies, like the Pakistani Taliban attack on Times Square. They weren't an enemy before. The Al-Qaeda in the Arab Arabian Peninsula, which is merely a regional affiliate of Al-Qaeda and really didn't focus their attacks on the U.S. Of course, after we went after them, they had the underwear bomber a couple of times, tried underwear bombing. So, and these terrorist attacks are then hyped by the agencies to get more power and to showcase that they're doing something about the problem. And of course, that hyping in the media, makes the public demand more restrictions on civil liberties, and that erodes the republic. So I think we really need to start saying, hey, we need to take measures. Certainly we need to take the measures that we need to take to defend our country. But perhaps if we didn't have a forward power projection type of foreign policy, we'd have fewer terrorism and the republic would be a safer place. And we need to, the foreign policy should safeguard the republic, not undermine it. And I think that's what's happening with all of this.
All right, interesting themes. We'll be talking about it more tonight. Ivan E., thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LaCig.com, spelled LECIG.com. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
In the last 2 years alone, the U.S. has seen huge losses to our food supply. In 2011, storms and floods raged across the U.S., costing us $20 billion in lost crops alone. In 2012, we saw the largest drought in the country in more than 50 years. You may think out of sight, out of mind, and so you don't think you will be affected. The fact is, you are. We all are. Food shortages drive prices up for everyone. You might not be able to control Mother Nature, but you can control your food prices by freezing the cost and availability of your food supply with eFoods Direct. Be prepared before you need it with nutrient-dense food you can store for up to 25 years. You can hope for the best, but hope won't feed you. Do what I've done and get your own supply of the best storable foods out there from eFoods Direct. Call 800-409-5633 or visit them on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and check out their spring specials. Again, that number is 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and let me just say this. Some of the things that are happening are pretty interesting lately. They're all worlds colliding at one time. One, Putin is furious with Obama. Obama is not happy with Putin. Why? Because Russia is giving arms, as you know, and helping the Assad regime in Syria, and we're about to dump arms on some rebels. But it all comes back to the same common denominator, more unrest that we are very weary of in the Middle East. Then you have the release of the prisoners' names in who are in Gitmo. Now, this we've already known this. We've known the names of all Guantanamo prisoners. They've been public for years. But President Obama declined to disclose which detainees had been designated for indefinite detention in 2010 by the review panel that they ran, even though the identity of many of them was pretty much widely known through their lawyers and things that had been written or whatnot. So the government released the list after the Miami Herald. See, there's always that, oh yeah, here's the other part of this to move the needle. They released the list after a newspaper, the Miami Herald, sued for the document under Freedom of Information Act. Thank goodness we have that, right? So most of the 48 on the list are from Yemen and Afghanistan. Those countries don't want them back. Two are dead, one by suicide, the other by a heart attack. The list also has about two dozen prisoners who've been recommended for prosecution, and that includes Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's already, as you know, on trial for his role in the September 11th attack, and Hambali, an alleged Indonesian terrorist leader, too. He's in the midst of that as well. So there are about 166 prisoners at Guantanamo. The quandary is Obama wants to close it down, wants to move them to the United States in a prison in our country. Some people say, well, that'd be great because there'd be more jobs in some of these areas where the economy really has rocked them. You know, we can think of places like Illinois. So they either want to release or transfer the remaining prisoners regardless to their homelands. They don't want them. Let me say that again. They don't want them. Or other countries pending what they're calling adequate security safeguards to prevent them from attacking the U.S. or the Allies. Wouldn't that just be great? You let someone go and then they blow us up or they plant some kind of a bomb and it's narrowly thwarted or who knows what. Because you got to think how long some of them have been there and how much hatred they must have for the United States. I mean, why were some of them there in the first place? That part scares me. That part scares me. This is a big deal, and I haven't even touched on it yet. It's huge. The Supreme Court and the Arizona law. Citizenship, you know what that is, the proof of citizenship. Remember that, how Jan Brewer, the governor, had to fight so hard and ultimately almost had to fight for her life because her life was threatened by kooks that wanted to shoot her for the fact that she signed into law Arizona citizenship, the proof, if they were stopped for something else. Remember this? The justices voted 7-2 to throw out the voter-approved requirement as well for the prospective voter's document that their U.S. citizenship was in order to use a registration form produced under the federal voter registration law. Does that sound confusing? It shouldn't be confusing. So basically, picture this if you will. And it was Proposition 200. The state needs the power to keep illegal immigrants and those ineligible to vote, as we know, in the U.S. from getting a ballot. So how does it stop them from getting a ballot? Well, the issue becomes more urgent with 11 million illegal immigrants being given this pathway to amnesty if we get to it. So think of elections and think of ensuring that the elections are secured, that only citizens who are registered to vote actually vote in it. Proposition 200 supporters say the state needs the power to keep illegal immigrants and those ineligible to vote in the U.S. from getting that ballot. So I'll say it again. It's about getting the ballot. Citizenship proof for voters, though, according to the Supreme Court, is illegal. It's illegal. So the judicial system and common sense are on two different paths once again. Oh, are you kidding me? And that's how it went down. It just basically comes down to that. I can go through all the other gobbledygook of it. I can talk about the voter registration drives at church services and county fairs and all that kind of stuff. The people that register there, they don't have citizenship documents. They don't have a birth certificate in their back pocket when they go to that kind of stuff. And in Arizona, the state's largest county and the seat of Phoenix, they're saying that since they came up with a proof of citizenship for the voter registration, they saw a 45% reduction, meaning people didn't have proof. They didn't have proof of it. So then you have the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, which brought the original lawsuit against the state regulations. They said 31,000 potential voters had their applications rejected in 2 years after the Arizona law kicked in. And then they argue that 90% were born in the United states. So who were these people in this lawsuit? Jesus Gonzalez, a public school employee in Yuma, tried to register to vote the day he became a citizen. His application was rejected twice when his separate naturalization and driver's license numbers were improperly red flagged. He's got a leg to stand on. That's a shame, and that shouldn't have happened. But then we know the reverse stories of what has happened. Now, in a dissent, Justice Sam Alito said the majority produced truly strange results. And this was how it read. I want you to hear the whole thing. What is a state to do if it has reason to doubt an applicant's eligibility but cannot be sure that the applicant is ineligible? Must the state either grant or deny registration without communicating with the applicant? Or does the court believe that a state may ask for additional information in individual cases, but may not impose a categorical requirement for all applicants? If that is the court's position, on which provision of the NVRA does it rely? The court's reading of federal law is atextual and makes little sense. And Justice Thomas, also not on board in this. He said the federal form ceases to perform any meaningful function, forms, and would be feeble means of increasing the number of eligible citizens who register to vote in elections for federal office. Can we not, do we not live in a banana republic? Can we not have people who are citizens here vote? Can't we get this straight? It was Justice Kennedy a year ago that blocked the Arizona law from being enforced, while they decided internally whether to accept pending appeals for review. The ballot measure was passed in 2004, and it's been kind of lingering in the court system, the federal courts, ever since then. So this has been a long time coming, the Supreme Court getting a handle on it. So the 7-2 majority, 7-2, so 7-2, said the state's voter-approved Proposition 200 interfered with federal law designed to make voter registration easier. And then the bottom line was, the thought was, well, if this was allowed to stand, then what would happen across the country? How much chaos would we have in other states, and what a huge problem it would be? The Obama folks said if the provision in Arizona's law were allowed to continue, it would create a mishmash of regulations across the country and the county, even just in Arizona. Don't we already have that in this country with so many of our laws? Gun laws. That comes to mind immediately. So every state could impose its own supplemental requirements, they say, beyond the federal form. Not a big fan of blanket forms, I gotta tell you. But this one, this gets shot down.
My name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.